This is the Daily Game Addiction for PAX 2007 interview with Rob Yoskom of Free Radical. And welcome to the Daily Game Addiction. My name is Luke. In this episode, we went to PAX, Penny Arcade Expo. You can go ahead and go to our website at gameaddicthotline.com to see all the pictures and video that we shot. But we also got an interview with Rob Yoskom of Free Radical. They came in there showing off their game Haze. So let's get right into the interview. So I'm here talking with Rob Yoskom. He is the screenwriter for the Free Radical company. The guys who not only have made Time Splitters, Time Splitters 2, Time Splitters 3, and you guys have also been doing, a lot of the people who were there also did the GoldenEye and the Perfect Dark, and now you guys are here showing off Haze. How are you doing today?
Extremely well, sir. How are you?
Good. Did you get a lot of good sleep today?
I've been awake for about 36 hours, and I'm feeling great.
How was the trip from the UK up here?
It was long, and the movies were terrible.
How's it been being one of the bigger companies in the UK that are actually making games? I know there's Rare and some other companies.
Well, we're actually in a pretty unique position at the moment, because even though we're seen as this kind of cult, rebellious company, we're working now on 3 AAA first-person shooters at the same time. We've got Haze, we've got Time Splitters 4, and the top-secret LucasArts project as well. So I don't think there's ever been an independent developer working on 3 AAA FPSs at the same time.
And you guys have been doing some really good stuff. I was actually playing Haze. Haze looks really good. Can you tell people who haven't gotten a chance to play Haze some of the things that they'll expect when they play it?
It's a long list. Let me start from the top. The story, the year is 2048. There's a war going on in this region of South America where a bunch of evil rebels called the Promised Hand are trying to overthrow the government. So thank God that Mantle Global Industries are sending in their private army to sort things out. Now, Mantle, the company, is caring and sharing, and they don't want their soldiers to get hurt. So they provide them with this miracle nutritional supplement, as they call it, called Nectar. Now, what Nectar does is it allows the soldiers to be tougher, smarter, faster, all that kind of stuff. I'll explain the gameplay in a minute. But the twist is, as a Mantle soldier, you want to take lots of Nectar to be at your best. But if you take too much of it, you'll overdose. Now, what happens when you overdose is you'll go crazy, you won't be able to make out friend or foe, and you'll be automatically shooting at people, even your best buddies. So, for instance, we've got 4-player co-op in this game. So in 4-player co-op, for instance, you're not just watching the bad guys, you've also got to keep your eye on your friends, because they might turn on a dime and suddenly become your worst enemies. Now, the other big selling point of Haze, of course, is that it is literally, I shit you not, 2 games in one box. It's 2 first-person shooters in the same box, because halfway through the game, your character has a change of heart, and you change sides to fight for the rebels. And that doesn't mean just shooting at different guys. You get a different weapon set, skill set, new abilities, new ways to take advantage of Nectar, different visual presentation, different style of game. It's a different game in the same box. Now, when you're a Mantle Trooper, your objective is, in terms of gameplay, is about taking Nectar but not taking too much. When you become a rebel, it's all about forcing the Mantle guys to take too much Nectar and kill each other and go nuts on each other. There are 3 key ways you can do that as a rebel. The first one is the Nectar Grenade. Now, on the back of every Mantle Trooper is their Nectar Administrator, on their back, the Nectar Pack. Take one of those guys down, you can rip the Nectar Pack off his back, strap it onto a grenade, throw that grenade, it'll blow up in a huge cloud of yellow gas, and all the Mantle guys in that gas will go nuts. The second thing you can do is make what's called a Nectar Knife. You get a knife, smear Nectar on the blade, you cut somebody with that knife, or you throw that knife at somebody, they'll go nuts. The third thing you can do, probably the hardest way to do it, is if you can get a clean shot on the Nectar Administrator on their back, that'll drive them nuts too. Now, as a rebel, you also get a bunch of other abilities, which some of them are pretty cool. Check this out. Now, one of the abilities you can do is called Play Dead. Now, just to backtrack a minute, when you're on Nectar as a Mantle Trooper, what it's doing is it senses your perception of reality. So you can't see blood, you can't hear screaming, and the bodies fade away like in a video game. So playing as a Mantle soldier is like playing a video game. When you become a rebel and you go cold turkey off Nectar, you can see the blood and the horror of everything you're doing, but you can take advantage of the fact that the Mantle guys can't. So if you take a few hits and you're in trouble, you can lie down and pretend to be dead. And from the mantle point of view, you'll fade away like a body in a video game. So wait for them to turn around. You can jump up on your feet and slug two in the back of the head. You know what I mean? The next thing you can do is you can do a disarm move. You can steal their weapons. Get close to one of those guys, punch him in the face, rip the weapon out of his hands and turn it back on him and even the odds. The other thing you can do is lay mines, set traps. So you can bury mines under the soil. Someone steps on it, they'll blow up. The cool thing about that is if you mix like setting traps with playing dead and being effectively invisible on the ground, you can set up really interesting ambush situations in multiplayer. So the skills aren't things you have to use in one particular way. They're toys for you to decide how you want to play the game. As well as that, you also get the scavenge ability. Now what this is in any other game, if you found some gun you really liked, like a minigun, let's say, if you ran out of ammo, you'd have to throw the gun away. In Haze, you can recalibrate the ammo from other weapons to fit your gun of choice. So you decide how you want to play, what weapon you want to play with. It's your choice. The other thing you can do, it's a long list, is once you become a rebel and you strip off all that heavy armor from Mantle, you can't take as many hits, so you've got to be more nimble to survive. So you can jump, leap, and dive, and somersault, and jump between rooftops to stay alive. So more than that, let me backtrack quickly so you understand the benefits of using Nectar. When you're a Mantle soldier, you get four key abilities with Nectar. Before I talk about those, the main point is that Nectar makes you able to dish out more damage and able to take more hits. So on the basic level, it makes you better. But as well as that, you get Nectar Perception. What that is, you know, in this world of HDR, it's easy for the bad guys to hide in the shadows or, you know, hide in camouflage. Nectar Perception will pick them out from the dark so you can see them easier. The next thing you have is Nectar Focus. This is a sniping aid. When you're zooming in, it'll tweak your aim to a headshot with a little kind of auto-aim tweak. So it makes it easier to get that headshot from a mile out. Next thing it gives you is Nectar Foresight. And Nectar Foresight is the ability to predict danger before it happens. So if a grenade's about to go off near you, or someone's about to melee you, or someone's about to snipe you from somewhere, you'll see this rippling pulse effect coming out from the source of danger, so you know something bad's going to happen from there. And the final thing you get with Nectar is what's called the Melee Blast. It's a massive, massive, you know, super powerful punch, so powerful it's like you're Mike Tyson driving a steam train, eh? So it's, you know, playing Haze is all about which faction suits your style of play. So in the single player, you get the switch halfway through and you get to play both sides. In multiplayer, it's not just the choice of red or blue or you know, who has the biggest rocket launcher. It's about choosing a faction that suits your style of play. If you're the guy who wants to run in there and just shoot up the place, you play as Mantle. If you're more sneaky and you want to play guerrilla-style tactics, you play as a rebel. So it's all about your choice. How do you want to approach playing this game? Now, the multiplayer maps are not just the traditional deathmatch and team deathmatch. We've also got a kind of narrative-based assault maps. So they're little stories contained in the multiplayer maps, which will change your perspective of things you thought you understood in the single player and vice versa. So it's like literally playing the deleted scenes on a DVD. And finally, okay, we're almost coming to the end now. It's a long list of stuff. The co-op is hot swap online. So if you've got, you know, you're having a hard time playing Haze, you can call up three of your buddies and they can jump straight into your game without having to go back to a lobby to wait for them. You want to know more?
No, that's enough. Well, I do want to know, when is it going to come out?
It's out November, PS3 exclusive this year.
PS3 exclusive. Are you guys going to be doing anything with the Xbox 360 in the near future, or is that something you haven't talked about?
Well, all we know right now is it's PS3 exclusive.
All right. You guys are also making some other games. You're doing Time Splitters 4, and you're also doing a LucasArts game. Are those also going to be PS3 exclusives, or are you working with other companies to make it more around for everybody?
Well, Time Splitters is, it's still at the kind of paper design stage. We have absolutely no idea even, you know, what's finally going to be in the game. So platforms, you know, anything could happen.
Right. So you guys are like, okay, we're going to do it, but we haven't gotten to the stage of getting right into the starting and getting all this stuff going. You're just kind of like writing down things out right now.
Yeah, I mean, what we've got is a huge, huge, huge list of stuff that we'd like to do, but, you know, we can't do it all. So we've got to pare it down and then figure out what system that's going to work best with.
Now, what are some of the things that you guys have been seeing with other first-person shooters that you've... I can think that you guys maybe have been seeing God of Gears of War and seeing how they've been doing some of their dual co-ops, and I guess you've been looking at some other first-person shooter games. What kind of things influences your guys' and what you guys make in your games?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because ultimately, I mean, even though you kind of put the dressing on it, any first-person shooter, you're doing those kind of four key things. You're looking for enemies, aiming at enemies, shooting enemies, and punching enemies, and taking damage or dishing damage out. And that's what Nectar is all about. It's about improving your core experience of a first-person shooter. Yes, that's my answer.
So do you look at other games that you look and see those?
Of course. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff out there. I mean, Halo 3 is looking great. BioShock looks great. Crysis is looking great. You know, we got a lot of love for those guys. They're doing a great job, and you know, we're all trying to raise the bar.
That's something that you guys are definitely doing. I'm talking to a lot of people, and everybody's saying that's one of the big games that they've been seeing here at PAX. So looks like you've been doing a great job and showing off here. What are some of the things that you do as a screenwriter that is for people who are wanting to get into the industry and want to learn about how to be a writer?
Well, I always find talking about my own work slightly embarrassing because it always seems slightly egotistical. What I've been saying to people about the script for Haze is that it would be kind of, you know, arrogant of me to tell you whether the script is good or bad, you know, but what I can tell you is that the actors we managed to get in for the principal lead roles in Haze are from the Royal Shakespeare Company and the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, and those aren't actors who do video games, you know. And if we're honest about it, actors are only really interested in one of two things, either lots of money or a good script, and we didn't have a lot of money to give them. So hopefully that's testament to the script being a pretty decent thing.
Yeah, it seems like that's one of the things that a lot more of the companies are starting to get into now, is they're seeing how great a story writer is and getting more people to get into the story instead of just playing the game. Is that something that you're really excited about as a story writer?
Well, sure. I mean, I'll tell you just an interesting story. Is whenever my dad used to see me playing games, he used to say, oh, you're just in another corridor shooting people. I said, Dad, it's not about being in the corridor shooting people, it's about why I'm in the corridor shooting people. You know what I mean? So what a writer can do is we can bring emotional emphasis to what you're doing. I mean, you look at a game like Shenmue, for instance. I mean, ultimately, you're playing those games in order to play one round of Virtua Fighter with Lan Di, the guy who killed your father at the end. You know, it's basically the same thing as if you sat down and played Virtua Fighter. But the fact that you're going through that story and it puts that emotional emphasis on that one little piece of gameplay that you're aiming for, it makes it so much more exciting to be involved in it.
Well, I was talking with Rob Yoskom. Thank you so much for letting us talk to you, talk about Haze. Hopefully we'll be seeing a great November for you guys.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. And we love you guys. We love what you do. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you so much for listening to our interview with Rob Yoskom. If you have any questions or comments or anything that you'd like to email with us, you can do it at gameaghotline@gmail.com. You can also call us at our voice line at 206-202-4367. So I hope you enjoyed, and we're going to have a special cross-platform episode also about PAX 2007. So, hope you guys enjoyed, and you guys, turn your video games back up, and have a great day.